Oh my God, of course it was my idea, duh. I was like, wait, you're going to Drag Race, you need to talk about me. They have to remember me.
Fierce, fierce, fierce.
I love this podcast.
Fierce, fierce, weather, fierce, food, fierce, this weather.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Joey Nolfi, Entertainment Weekly's RuPaul's Drag Race reporter, coming to you today with gratitude that we are blessed and highly favored and soft and supple enough to invade your ear holes once again on a season of EW's Quick Drag Podcast. And I am also thankful that I was able to purchase and wear today on this very podcast the new Saphira Cristal breastplate necklace that is currently draped around my neck. And I can confirm it is of equal length to Lux Noir London's 40-inch wig. The perfect accessory for any occasion, from mopping the floor to murder in a lip sync.
And I'm Jillian Cederholm, EW's news director. And just like RuPaul, I only want to celebrate spring break in January. And I will expect Derek Barry to be the only person dressed for the occasion.
And for our grand return to being MCs ourselves, I guess, to the time and space that exists between your heart and ears, we are broadcasting live today from the Candy Muse Bodega in Brooklyn, where we've chosen to wreak havoc at the top of season 16. And I also,
no,
I seem to have picked
do
up,
not do it.
I've seemed to have picked up something from the bodega, and Jillian is going to be so excited about this. I picked
listeners,
up.
Listeners, if this annoys you, please give us a 5-star review and then only DM Joey to say it annoyed you.
Well, we're at the bodega, so I had to pick up, some chips. But as we told you in our season preview episode, we were freshly revived and thawed out from our corporate cryosleep, but we failed to mention where our cryosleep vessels were stored since All Stars 8 ended. So coming up later on this episode, we fittingly invited the owner, CEO, and businesswoman behind the Candy Muse Bodega to join us to share her thoughts on the season 16 premiere and any tea she's willing to spill on her drag daughter, Tsunami, mainly because it was a contractual obligation since Jillian Closet and I were graciously stored in her bodega's back stock room since August.
It does seem weird for business that they only are selling Jessica Wilde guacamole chips and bananas in this bodega.
And bananas too. Yes. Well, yeah, that's what I was just eating. I was just eating the Jessica Wilde chips.
Before we bring Candy to the show, we have so much to discuss about the first episode of the 2-part season 16 premiere. Joey, on premiere day, we also debuted EW's full season 16 group interview with you and the full cast of Queens, available now on EW's YouTube and EW.com/Drag Race. Had all kinds of fun teases about what's in store for us this season. You also attended a big premiere event in New York City that night, and I understand you have some interesting stories that you would like to share that you have not revealed with me even until now.
Oh, yes. I was saving. Well, there was one that I was going to wait to tell you, but I absolutely could not because it gave me so much joy. Just walking around this, we were at the Hammerstein Ballroom, and is it Stein? Hammerstein? It was huge. It was unlike any other premiere I've ever seen for Drag Race in the years that I've been covering it. It was incredible. They had a runway, they had a stage. All the queens did like a little runway walk. Michelle Visage was there. Mother was introducing them. It was so much fun. There were so many alums there. And the one I was most excited about, I was just standing there in the crowd and hovering over everyone else's head in the crowd was Miss Ornisha. Mm-hmm. The real Ornisha was there. She was there hovering above the crowd on Vivacious's head.
We know that she does make an appearance in Untucked in this episode, so she should be there.
Absolutely. She was there just supporting her very own season premiere.
Wait, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but okay, in your article about the new Untucked, you observed that Ornisha is in a scene and then had disappeared in another scene. This is where she was.
Yeah, this is where she was. I did notice that she comes back in a very brief, like one of the black and white interludes. She's back again, but she's definitely not there the whole time. But yes, she was jet setting, hopping onto planes to go to New York to go to this premiere. So that was amazing seeing her. There was also this very funny moment where they had like this balcony where I guess the queens, all of the alums that were there, were watching the premiere. They only showed us like the first 15 minutes. And I guess all the queens were up there on the balcony, and I remember looking up there and just being like going down the line and identifying like, oh, Jiggly Caliente, Jasmine Kennedy, like all of them just lined up. And Sasha Colby was filming herself because they showed Sasha's commercial, the one where she's like dancing and whipping her hair around. Mm-hmm. And I turn around and see Sasha Colby filming herself on the biggest screen ever. That was the cutest moment. But then after all the queens trickled down from there, I'm standing right below the balcony and I look up and there's only two people up there. The most insane looking like figure with like a crocheted face and hair. It was like a 2 foot tall head on top of this like red costume. Mm-hmm. And someone who was not in drag, like furiously, like, and well, not furiously, but like just very like energetically speaking to this figure. And we were all like, who the fuck is this? And I realized when the person who was not in drag turned around, it was Lucy LaDuca. Oh. And out of drag. And then everybody was wondering who this person in this giant crocheted head was. It was Thorgy. And so it was just funny watching Lucy like furiously speaking to this figure up on this balcony. But there was also a very cute moment where Plasma brought her parents over to me to introduce me to her parents, because her dad wanted to say hello because he liked that I was so interested in the story of him making her Marilyn Monroe prop from the individual interviews. And he was like, I'm the guy who made the Marilyn Monroe prop. So it was really cute getting to meet him as well. There was a whole House of Aja reunion moment. Dahlia, Aja, Candy, they were all there. Tsunami, they were all there. And then the other funny moment was I was talking with Jasmine Kennedy in the crowd, and she was just very enthusiastically eating a chicken sandwich, and I just thought it was the funniest thing. Alexis Michelle was there. I got to speak with Alexis Michelle. Lux was there. All the cast of season 16. It was a really, really fun, funny, alum-filled evening. So
They wearing the same outfits that they wore in your video earlier, or they all changed for the
project? No, they all changed. They changed for this
any
event.
It was like any fashion highlights from the group?
Yeah, I really – everybody – I mean, Safira brought the house down. Like, I mean, she looked incredible. She had this – she had like tall, spiky ponytail like sticking straight up at the top of her hair. She was – her legs were – just looked a million feet long. Amanda also looked really good. Plasma looks good.
Say that with a question mark.
No, I'm saying like she looked really, really good. She looks like a fashion amoeba. Plasma looked great. She had all these feathers where literally anywhere she walked for the rest of the evening, you could see the little feathers. It looks like a feather massacre all on the floor. And it was funny. Plain Jane was wearing spikes on her outfit. And she was like, I had the right idea. She was like, I knew what I was doing with this. She was like, I don't want anybody like hugging me at this event. Yes. So she was like, I'm wearing brilliant spikes. So yeah, that's, you know, relatable icon. But also Tsunami, paid tribute to the moment we asked her about in the individual interviews where she lost her shoe at the fashion show and she left her shoe on the stage and then walked off the stage without her shoe.
Wait, really? Or she just forgot her shoe?
Yeah. And I couldn't see it at first because the way that we were positioned, we were down a little bit and the stage was up a little higher. So I couldn't see it. And I didn't see it until she posted about it on social media the next day. But yeah, I was like, I wish I could have seen that in person. But yeah, they all – oh, also, okay, Maya's look on the runway. It was like a Madonna-inspired with the gloves and the – I mean, mother, she looked incredible. They all looked good.
Awesome.
We should definitely talk about this episode, all this fanfare around the episode. We should talk about the episode itself. I'm really excited to talk about it because it was – hands down, I think it was one of the best Drag Race premieres in a really long time. Last year's was good. This one – got me so excited. I think that there were two moments here where I have laughed harder than I maybe have at Drag Race in years. Mm-hmm. And Jillian and I have been talking about these moments ever since it first happened. And we'll talk about that later. But this half of the two-part premiere introduced us to a mandatory meeting, Dawn, Mirage, Morphine Love, Dion, Q, Safira Crystal, and Tsunami Muse. We immediately kicked off with the return of the doorbell peephole mini challenge that they also did on season 11, but they did it on set.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I loved that back on season 11. I thought it was so funny. But we also had Love Connie again playing the role of a nosy neighbor that I unfortunately thought was Sarge returning as Wintergreen at first. In the very quick shot, I quickly realized it was Love Connie. But I mean, yeah.
I do not get that.
That's what I – well, when they were first introduced, it was only like very quickly in the side of the frame. And I was like, oh my God, Sarge. And then
you're
it
just
was,
always every episode anticipating a Sarge.
Anticipating Sarge, yes, yes. But the mini challenge, I thought, was really funny. I thought Dawn stood out. I thought Dawn's was the funniest of the mini challenge. I also liked Morphine not being sure what to say when RuPaul was like, is that the morphine I ordered? And Morphine is just like, yes, it's me. I've been delivered. Just so silly and stupid. Yeah. And I thought it was a really fun return to form of like older Drag Race mini challenges. So I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, and I agree. I was a little bit worried at first when we found out that they were not – that it was a split premiere, but that it was going to be a two-part premiere, not on the same day. And I thought that it would leave us, I don't know, just like, well, we just want to see the other group. But I think this really was a great way to have these queens get like a full week of fanfare, and yeah. I really thought like this episode really stood on its own and was so funny, and I'm now happy that it didn't suddenly get buried with whatever great things are hopefully in store in the next episode.
Yeah, I think it was also, though, you could start to see some maybe themes or pick up on certain things from the queens that might mm-hmm. be consistent throughout the rest of the season. I mean, you could tell maybe Mirage was a little nervous in the mini challenge. And she felt a little nervous at first, I think, in our individual interview, the first one that
we did.
I was
going to say that, too. I also felt that way about her. And but then,
It's like a very cute kind of nervous. Like, it's like she like just really wants to do well. And I could tell that that's what the way she was acting in the little mini challenge. It's like an endearing kind of nervous. Yeah. But I mean, Dawn, you could tell, just immediately was just like, I'm going to be silly and stupid. And she chased Love Connie off. Off of the set.
Yes, that was really so funny. That was probably my favorite moment of any of the mini challenges. And yeah, I was really happy, or I'm really excited to see Dawn in an improv challenge. I feel she can really hold her own.
Oh,
so
yes.
I was really impressed by her. And Safira also was like, bouncing off of RuPaul and able to, and then also, get in the moves and looking great mm-hmm. and obviously winning.
What did Rue say? Rue was like, you look like a Jehovah's Witness coming up.
Yes, walking up to the door. It was great. And then, at first I was like, oh, is Rue like not? I mean, I don't know. I guess I still wonder like how they pulled this off in terms of like Rue actually looking at them and saying things.
Well, it looks like he had a little iPad. So yeah, they probably had like a Ring camera or something on there.
So, yeah, because at first I was like, well, it would be awkward if Rue's not – because they are – like the ones who are playing off of Rue, it seemed like obviously that she is there giving them the back and forth.
I would love
but
to
there
see
was,
that. But
I had one of my classic freeze frame moments though when I was trying to figure out if Rue was actually there with them or not. And it's because it zoomed in on the iPad and it showed like a close-up of Rue's hands. And I mean, obviously, this is the kind of thing that happens in TV and film all the time. Like when you're in a close-up, there's a hand model or whatever. But this person holding the iPad was absolutely not RuPaul's fingers. And I was like, I feel like RuPaul, if she had also watched this in freeze frame, would have been like, okay, can we get someone that at least doesn't have like a hangnail? And
wait, you didn't share that with me either.
I didn't share it with you until now because it's so stupid. But anyway, it was just like I went back and I was like, okay, what do RuPaul out of drag, like what do his hands
what
look like?
RuPaul
what
hands
do RuPaul look like? And it was like a very nice manicure with like kind of like a soft, like pinkish polish. And that was not what was in the close up of, I mean, okay, now I'm like acting like it was a mangled hand. So I'm sorry to the person who was holding the PA holding this. But it was not, I was like, those are not RuPaul's hands. We know Ru's fingers.
Oh, gosh. It was, sorry to Sasha Colby's adopted son, Justin, the PA, was holding this. Was holding this. Mother, make your children manicure their hands. But what a moment, Jillian. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, and also, like, Isn't RuPaul I thought RuPaul was vegan. I mean, I know that RuPaul will say whatever to like.
Oh, that was so funny.
She's going to yes and you. She's not going to be like, no, sorry, I'm vegan. But right. It was just funny because I was like, I think RuPaul actually is vegan.
Yeah. And who do you think they're going to vote for? Not you.
That was great.
So good.
Okay, so later RuPaul comes into the workroom. She is there in person, not on the iPad, in a little train conductor outfit with gloves as a scarf, which I thought was brilliant.
So cute.
Also, to introduce the Rate a Queen component that is our new twist of the season that asked the queens to rank their peers later in the episode. And she also revealed that immunity is going to return for challenge winning queens for the first time since season 5, which was over 10 years ago. Hopefully this doesn't turn into the new What Are the Fame Games struggle that I had.
I just forgot about that just now. Jillian, I cannot go through another season of that with
okay.
you.
I'm sure that I will quickly be able to wrap my head around how this immunity works. But it did throw me off that we had an immunity, but there was no elimination or anyone even up for elimination in this episode.
Yeah.
But what were your thoughts when you learned that? Let's do immunity first and then we'll talk about Rate a Queen. That immunity is back.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of immunity or no?
Yeah, I think I always like a format change that is not necessarily either. Well, I guess, yeah, we've seen immunity before, but we haven't seen it in a really long time. And I liked that Canada's Drag Race brought the, was it Golden Beaver?
Yeah.
And I think that felt really fun. And this also feels like a very fun kind of twist that we have not seen in a really long time. So it'll be interesting to see how this newer school of queens will react to a twist. Because as we said, we've seen a whole generation of drag queens come up, raised on RuPaul's Drag Race, that were not on the show like 10, 11, 12 years ago. So it'll be interesting to see how that changes the dynamic for strategizing. Mm-hmm. Because the way it was worded was very, it almost makes it seem like the queens can save immunity for a future challenge of their choice. And it might not just be for the week ahead.
Yeah.
So that I think is very interesting. If that is indeed, if we're understanding, I might be on the Jillian Fame Games understanding level of this, but yeah, that will be very interesting.
Yeah, because I guess then otherwise it would be whoever gets immunity in the first two episodes would both have just immunity for the first elimination. But I guess if it is – and so, okay, this is something that came up in your full cast interview that you can go ew.com/dragrace or YouTube, where Safira, when you were asking for like mood words of the season or something, said hoarders. And everyone was like, kind of like, okay, I don't like fully get it. And some people were like, okay. So then I was like, wait, when I found out about immunity, I was like, what if somebody is just like, Safira's like winning several episodes and then hoarding a bunch of immunity. Either one queen is hoarding a bunch of immunities. And then like the last 5 episodes, you're like, okay, well, she's like definitely in the finals because she can't get out for the next 5 episodes because she has immunity. Or you get an episode where everyone who like is in the bottom 3 has one immunity or however many immunities, and what the hell is going to happen? Like so the safe queens end up in the bottom because everyone who's truly a bottom has immunity.
Everyone who's truly a bottom.
So this could get really interesting.
Wow, Jillian. Everyone who's truly a bottom.
Oh no.
Speculation abound. So we also had Charlize Theron as a guest judge in the workroom. She entered with baked goods that were absolutely not gluten-free. I know my gluten allergy is a questionable topic on this podcast.
Okay, as of this record,
and in our friendship,
are you Joey Nolfi allergic to gluten or not?
I am intolerant of gluten. However, I will say there is a photo of me at this event, this Drag Race premiere event, of me eating a very gluten-filled chicken sandwich while standing next to Jan and Jackie Cox, which I sent to you, Jillian, over the weekend.
Oh, it's been widely circulated.
It has not been widely circulated. I sent it only to you. And
so there is photographic evidence.
Gluten Intolerance Anonymous meeting. Jillian is sending it to my sponsor. But yes, I felt fine after that. So who's to say? Maybe I could have eaten Ms. Charlize Theron's South African not gluten-free treats that she brought into the workroom. But I will say, I did like that she came in as like, she's one of the celebrities, I think, that does use her platform to talk about drag a lot. I mean, she didn't we do a whole article last year about how she's like the biggest Drag Race stan and she talks about it a lot. She also participated, I believe, in that telethon last year. So she, I love when these guest judges come in knowing the industry. They're paying attention to it, like Cameron Diaz, too. And also like walking the walk. And they're not just like going on Drag Race and calling it a day. And like, that's my activism for the day. So I thought it was really
Miley
cool.
Miley Cyrus going on Joe Rogan of all podcasts to be like, yeah, I live for drag queens. Here's why they're so great. And not like refusing to make a single like play into his.
And then she was like, well, that's what people say about you too. You just do it all the same thing. Exactly. When he tried to be like, oh, they all do the same thing. I love that she was praising Kennedy Davenport in that moment too. But the other moment from this, When I was so gooped when Charlize entered the room and Mirage thanked her by reducing her to one of her worst roles in history. She was like, oh my God, that's Aeon Flux. Oh, I thought it was amazing.
Okay, so when Cher walks into the EW office,
burlesque star Cher,
for her Lifetime interview, it's you're gonna be like, oh my God, burlesque is here.
Well, if you recall, Jillian, the one time I interviewed Cher, it was about an elephant documentary, and also I asked her if she would ever go on Drag Race. So two projects that I feel like Cher is not associated with that we ended up asking her about. So, and both the stories did well. So
I mean, I would say Cher is largely associated with Drag Race without ever stepping foot.
That's true. Actually, yeah, you know what? That is very true. But on to the talent show. Charlize stuck around. We saw Morphine doing a little dance to a Rosalia song. Amanda performed an original tune about her missing kitty. Mirage did a stripper heel clack performance that I will say I was not that thrilled with when I first watched it, but then it grows into this masterpiece the more you watch it and you notice all the little intricate things that she's doing. So it was insane that she got a critique of it being messy from Michelle Visage, of all people. That was one of the most polished put together performances. Like it was amazing. I cannot believe that she was not high for that because it was an amazing performance. But then we had Tsunami. She did a song / slow burn fashion walk. Safira then performed a live opera piece in Italian with really hilarious subtitles in English. And then Dawn did a lip sync to a song with a completely bonkers visual element. And Q did perhaps one of the funniest things I've ever seen on Drag Race, where she used her head and a very tiny body to perform a ballet number that I still can't think about without laughing. Jillian, this talent show, what are your big takeaways, favorite moments, runway reactions? I think we should just talk about it all.
Yeah, talent show, I think we are in full agreement that Q and Safira just really like blew me away totally. I was
absolutely
screaming. I loved it completely. I really enjoyed Mirage's from my first viewing, unlike some people that needed multiple.
I did not enjoy it. I just was like, oh, it's okay. She's dancing. But then when you watch it over and over again, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. When you really look at what she's doing and just like how flexible she is, like the people, like we see a lot of splits that are like, oh my God, they might need a medic after this. But this is just like one of these people that's like a Gumby, like just doing whatever with her body, like a
when
rubber
she
band. It's so
talks
crazy.
Talks about Anitra and then flips her hair back and there's the knife sound effect and she just flawlessly, seamlessly goes back on that back. Oh my God.
Yeah. Incredible. I was really impressed. I thought Amanda's was really funny. I thought that what was interesting, I was looking at the other queens and they were kind of distracting me. Like I wasn't really seeing them as much as sometimes we see, like living for each other. I think like it was like nerves of like, this is the first time you're like in front of these judges. So I'm not going to say that they were being overly shady. I don't
know. But even like
Q like kept looking over at RuPaul kind of after each one of like, okay, is this going to be a positive edit or a negative edit? Like what should my reaction
what mother
be?
Says goes. Well, there is that one tweet that's going around that's like, when you say gays don't know how to applaud, and it's literally everybody giving a different kind of reaction. Like Dawn has her little sausage finger that's just like,
oh, I haven't seen this.
Q is like looking off to RuPaul, like you said, and other people are like just clapping more normally. It's really funny.
That's so funny. Yeah. And then there was who performed that Amanda was like going wild for? Was it Tsunami? Amanda was like going wild, and then Dawn and her like kind of gives her a look, and then in her confessional was like, I was like underwhelmed. So I don't know. So maybe Amanda is like the cheer girl of the season.
She's the Deja Sky. Oh my God. That image of Deja Sky. Why still so much respect to Deja Sky for being a woman of her word? She was like, I'm going to lift you all up. And they're all there dead face. And then Deja is losing her mind. It's so funny still. But I do think we were talking a little bit about this, that these sort of patterns that we see with the talent show, because we start to see patterns when it comes to All Stars and confessionals, and maybe how certain queens go into this, where you can clearly see that they have an idea of how they're going to either behave or approach the challenges or comedy or whatever, because they want to get in the good graces of fans, both capital F and lower F. But I think that we're also starting to see that in the talent show too. I mean, whether it's conscious or not, and it could be very wise to do this, to try to maybe like orchestrate these certain moments. Like we saw Anitra last year with the duck moment. And then I kind of felt like Amanda's, especially since it was recalling an animal and she can't find her kitty. And it was very much like, I see the sort of the way that the mind was working and like, okay, this worked last year for a queen. Maybe I'll try to do something similar to that. Mm-hmm. And I think Amanda did a great job, but Dawn also like kind of came in with like, maybe a little bit of oddball weirdness with the talent show that the same way that it worked for someone like Willow Pill. So, and this is not in any way saying that these queens are these other queens, but it's just, you know, you see the pattern of things that worked in a talent show, and you can kind of see the other queens weaving that into their performances. But the other thing that we have never seen a queen do, Miss Safira calling RuPaul daddy.
Oh, that was
so
that
good.
Was so was fun. Yeah, I, so Safira, just moments. Like the way that she's able to just like the quickness, and I guess
you know
not
what I'm talking about.
Overly intimidated. What?
She was like, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you were saying that to me. No. Yeah, that was great. And so, but yeah, like when it comes to the songs, it is like kind of concerning that I guess I get worried for them. Like if you. Well, I mean, hey, no one got eliminated on this anyway, so I guess it didn't matter. Like, if you're putting yourself up, like, I'm just worried about them all competing against each other. Like, if everyone kind of has the same quote unquote talent of like a song and dance number, then suddenly you're all going to be compared to each other. And so I think before it was like, oh, a couple of girls have a song and dance. It usually does pretty well because you're doing the skills that we want to see from you on the show. But now it's like, and then it was like more of a risk to be the person that's making a glass of ice water or whatever. Now it's almost like if you're doing that, you're like one of the, like you might be the only person not doing a song and dance, and it kind of makes you look a little bit better unless you get a shady edit. I do still stand by that making a glass of ice water is funny.
Yeah, I do. I think so too. Yeah. And did you see also Irene put on her Instagram story over the weekend? She was like, oh, no one went home. Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. No, like, yeah. She really, yeah. I don't know. Like the talent show, I kind of hate that we do. I don't know. I'm torn because I don't like getting through eliminations, but just let them show our talent and let's not judge them on that. We're talent introducing show, them to us on this.
Exactly.
Episode.
Exactly. I think if you're going to eliminate a queen on the first episode, it should not be also paired with the talent show maxi challenge. Because the talent show, like we're getting to know them, they can choose what they want to do. This is them showing their art to us. And yeah, that whole ice water thing with Irene, I mean, I think that that is a number that with the correct editing would have been like everybody would have been dying over that. So it was unfortunate that we saw that. But God, I can't believe it's been a year since we've seen that already.
Yeah, it's wild. Crazy. But I mean, yeah, so I think it was fine. I guess like I was curious to see over the weekend if a let loose would emerge that I just didn't fully like clock at the time, or not a soul can clock. I think both of those were slightly slow burns. I think it was maybe even like the week or so after those episodes that everyone was like, oh, this is actually, we're living for these songs now.
Yeah, Let Loose was not an overnight thing.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see if any of these do reach that status. I don't know if any of them are stuck in my head or if I could even like really hum them at this point, though.
Mirages is the closest.
Mirages,
I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then onto the runway. Do we have any highlights? I was a little, I don't know. It's a lot to ask of a queen of like, oh, blow us away with a full reveal on this. But I guess I was kind of like, as even the outfits that I did really like Q's and Dawn's, I think even those, the reveal was slightly, like it wasn't a reveal into a completely different outfit, which I guess I'm so used to.
Yeah. I liked Q's better before the reveal. I think it would have been fine just like that. But yeah, I mean, the runway was okay. I mean, I think that it led to one of the funniest moments in Drag Race history, thanks to Safira. So I'm thankful that this runway was the reveal runway, even if I wasn't like super blown away by everything, because it gave us this moment with Safira. It just...
Me, the real moment with Safira is coming up later.
Yes.
But the other thing that it did give us is, and that it was really kind of making me think of Irene and this kind of a thing where you really can manipulate an edit. When we see Amanda come out, mess up on her wig immediately falls off. I think she had been like stepped foot maybe half a second on the stage when her wig falls off at this look. And then says, oh, can I do it again? Runs off and does it again.
I don't think we've ever seen that on camera before.
I was trying to remember. I feel like there was someone that had some kind of a slight slip up, and I don't know, in my head it's like RuPaul telling them they can do it again, or
oh, maybe, yeah,
I can't really remember what I'm thinking of. There is a rumor that in season 4, the person who ended up winning, that in her entrance she messed up walking in or stumbled over her line or something and was able to do it again, and we never saw the mess up. We only saw walking in and getting the line cracked, and that person, you know, went on to win and had a great edit on the show at the time. So I get, it just made me think of like, okay, what if they had taken that out and only put Amanda walking out and doing it flawlessly? And I mean, okay, she still did unzip it into maybe makeup and a wig that might have still had some comments from the judges. But I could see it being more of like a wow moment. Because in the trailer, they showed a quick shot of somebody in that look, and I thought it was going to be like a Jimbo.
I thought it was Dawn.
The look again. I was like, oh, this is going to be like a real runway highlight for me this season, whoever this is. And then.
Well, it reminded me a lot of on Dragula, there is a queen, Cynthia Dahl, who did a somewhat similar look. Well, I don't want to say similar, but it was the same kind of idea, except there wasn't a reveal to it. And it is one of my favorite drag looks I've ever seen. It is so funny. She was like this alien green sort of blonde bimbo-y looking kind of thing.
You mean what was under the...
No, she wasn't. There was nothing under it. She was... But she had a... It wasn't her face. It was like the same kind of concept that Amanda stepped out with, where it was that kind of look, where it was just like a fake skin and cloth person over her. Yeah. She was like an alien.
Well, also kind of what Jimbo did when it was supposed to be the Trixie box of fabrics.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's very similar. But on Dragula, they did not like that look, but I thought it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
All right. So after the talent show, the queens were sequestered in the workroom in front of this giant screen showing all of their competitors, but not themselves, and had to rank the queens. Similar to what happens on Netflix's The Circle, but these queens were not given any criteria for their rankings. They weren't even said, like, I don't even think it was ever said, like, base it on performance. It was just rank the queens.
Right.
So Amanda said she was not voting on merit, and was like just going to come up with something, some kind of strategy. Mirage said she was voting on whoever made her laugh, because that's what she looks for in drag.
Yes.
While others did seem to be ranking probably on performance, or I think also some were mentioning outfits. Like Dawn, who does know her sister Tsunami very well, and you would expect maybe she would put her at the top just for being friends, but actually ranked her really low and said that she was underwhelmed by her talent show. And Morphine said she was putting Tsunami in fourth instead of fifth to save her, which was kind of interesting because, like, if you really were making a strategic move to save someone, thinking that they might land in the bottom, I would probably put them, I don't know, like at least like third.
Here's my second to last place.
Yeah. Yeah. Save. I was like, okay, she's still going to be bottom two.
So funny.
So that was funny.
Well, put her in fourth place.
Yes. So what did you think about this twist? And is it even, we already had talked about this a little bit of like, what is the point of this twist if it's truly only going to be on these two episodes? It seems like the point is drama.
Just drama. Yeah. I think that it's a good produced twist. It's just for drama because then they can later be like, oh, well, you didn't vote for me or you were going to vote for me and you did or didn't. I just think, yeah, because the bottom two placements didn't actually matter. They didn't count for anything. So I think it did count for the top two, which I guess could also be strategic because certain people, let's say they bring this twist back in the middle of the season or after, like if there's a lip sync Lollapalooza, like they bring it back for that. And then the queens get to vote on who won the lip sync. So maybe it will come back. Maybe it won't. I have no clue.
So it's mostly like the lipsticks being introduced in All Stars. Getting like, I assume that we're going to find, I guess we won't find out until the third episode. And then we'll just find out how every single person from both teams had ranked.
Well, I don't know about that because the last time there was some sort of vote, which was on All Stars 3, they didn't put it in the episode, but then they put online. Actually, I think EW debuted that clip, actually, of
we gotta get these rankings.
Revealing who the rankings were or who voted for who. Yeah, because all they did was reveal the results on the air, but then they let the full voting go online. So,
but I mean, I would be really surprised if when the groups get together and they're all saying like, oh, who was in the top of yours and who won yours, they're not also saying how they voted, or if people are truly watching the circle and voting with strategy, like we've seen there, that sometimes people, they really are ranking people way higher or way lower than maybe they deserve to be because they're trying to save somebody or trying to knock someone out. So next week, if suddenly the two tops are actually people who performed the worst at the show and they just, I don't know, somebody was trying to vote with strategy to save themselves or they're all friends or whatever it is, we could potentially see a really wild result, which people have to explain.
Mm-hmm. But though there were no eliminations, I mean, Safira and Q were, I think, rightfully voted as the top two of the episode, and they didn't. I hesitate to like call it a. I mean, it was a bit of a murder. As much as we loved Q's performance, I think Safira really did just sort of. To the lip sync to Beyonce's Break My Soul.
Q has commented because somebody tweeted, like, when did you know that that Safira was going to win or something? And Q, like, quote tweeted and was like, the moment. Or when did you know that – I can't remember how it was worded. Whatever. Q, like, played along and, like, very clearly. She was like, the second I knew I was against Safira to a Beyonce song, I knew it was over.
I mean, yeah, because they both just took very different approaches to the song right from the start. And it reminded me sort of like Kenya and Latrice. But
not to that extent.
No, not to that extent. But, no, but I'm saying like the way that Safira just very quickly, she didn't immediately start dancing. She just like very slowly started walking while
she was
dancing. Yeah, it was at that
and
moment.
Was lip syncing a different part. Like I've heard queens talk about this before of like, I don't know anything about music. They call it some term, like always do it to this part of the vocal or this vocal. And like, this is the first time I saw it. And I was like, whatever the terminology is, I understand now what they're doing and what Safira is doing is like making me feel different emotions about what she's doing. And it was great.
Well, it gave us an all-time great lip sync moment. It is approaching Tammy Brown, My Father Fucked Marlena Dietrich for me as like, can't think about it without dying the titty bib. Yes. I think for both of us,
No, I think I watched it before you and I was like this. I was like, I'm not spoiling it, but it does contain my like favorite breastplate moment of all time on this show. Like it was like, it killed me. It totally killed me. My jaw was on the floor, just like her boobs.
She just is bouncing. She's doing the little, what does Laganja call it? The word slam that I'm not going to say on this podcast because Jillian probably doesn't want me to say that word, but just slamming it into the stage and the boob plate is just plopping.
And they were so small, like on the runway, even I was like, oh, why is she wearing like Luxes? Like, why is this so narrow for her body? It's so small. And like, that just like, thank God she did, because it just made it even, it just made it so much more funnier than even if she were. You know, like Jessica to my coconuts was really funny, and it was like they were very big coconuts, but like how small these were and just like flying all over the stage, like just really made it. So I'm so thankful that this she was really a choice of breastplate.
To sell merch that is like a necklace that is that. Like,
yes. I would
That's buy genius. That yes. and wear it every day of my life. It is so funny. It was so good. But it also just bring up a question to me, like if you're saying that Q quote tweeted that and was like, oh, as soon as I knew it was Saphira and Beyonce, like it was over. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing some chatter online about like, does Saphira feel sort of like a Sasha Colby type where it's kind of like superior mother, super mother, almost untouchable with this sort of regard? Because you're seeing a lot of other queens say that too. Like, I mean, she just did a music video with Katya. So it's like, I mean, apparently they've known each other for a very long time. And Honey Davenport has spoken very positively of Saphira as well. And it's just like Saphira has this esteem, I think, in the industry with all that she can do. Mm-hmm. So, and then she had a nearly flawless performance in this episode as well. It just kind of feels like we're in the era of like Saphira dominance. And it just kind of feels inevitable that she feels like she is going to go very, very far in this competition. Yeah.
Or are we going to be just completely shattered, or she can't live up to it, or, you know, like the second that she stumbles, which for anyone else would be fine, suddenly we're like really holding her on like such a high platform that we're like, oh, we can't believe
she. She doesn't seem like someone who, even if she does sort of stumble on something, it would like detract, or it would like derail her that much. She seems very confident and assured in what she's doing. So
I think so. And she had two other iconic moments that I want to mention. One was, if you caught this, confessional. So in the middle of Amanda's song about the lost kitty, it cuts to a confessional of Saphira saying, I'm allergic to cats. Rough. And it was just like, the delivery of it is so perfect. It was so funny. And it's like, she does have this kind of, I don't know, like a perfect kind of reading of her sisters and like shade, where you're like, I equated it to like Regina George in a text to you, of like when you like, you don't know if you're like so happy this person is talking to you, or the thing they're saying is actually like ruder than intended, but it doesn't even come off that rude. Because she also says to Amanda in Untucked, when she says, I like your personality is so much better than your drag. Well, and it's even, like, it still comes off as like, oh wow, thanks, you love my personality.
Yeah. But even Amanda, I think Amanda also quote tweeted that and was like, oh, I just felt nothing but like mother's love in this moment. Yeah. So it just, it's, but you could tell Saphira, like also like, you could tell like after she said it, she like looked out and then looked off camera. Like she knew it was just such a good moment. I'm almost ready to declare like Saphira Stan podcast maybe, but like we did with Jessica, Wilde last year. But
I think, I guess my only thing was, and I really was living for Q for most of the, for all of the episode up until the lip sync, and then was like, oh no. Hmm? Oh, that is her Twitter. Well, hey.
Instagram handle, living for Q.
That's me, at living for Q. But, and then I was like, oh, is she going to be really impressive, like kill it in a design challenge, whatever. And then the second she lands in the bottom, you know, go home from a lip sync. Like, is she not going to be able to hold her own in a lip sync? Or was it just that Saphira was like
first episode nerves,
so maybe dominant? Yeah. And then I guess for Saphira, like, I don't know. I would say I wasn't the biggest fan of her runway. And I kind of like did agree with most of Michelle's critiques for that one. So I was like, oh, I hope she is able to deliver the looks, but I'm not going to judge her on mm-hmm. one look. So
yeah.
that's the only thing that kind of was worrying me. But based on this episode and the newly revamped Untucked, which we mentioned we have a whole story about all the changes, how do we see these queens stacking up on future episodes performance-wise and potential drama? And any other predictions other than potential Saphira dominance?
Yeah, I think Saphira feels like, and I think the entire internet agrees that Saphira feels like a very big force in this competition. I think based on in mini challenge and also maybe confessionals and just their general personality, I feel like we might see maybe Mirage struggle with like a comedy challenge or something. I think that... but she could also be like a lip sync assassin of the season. I clearly can see
people being
very afraid to lip sync against her because she is so amazing on stage. Dawn, like you said before, I think Dawn is going to do well in comedy challenges. Q is also very funny in the interviews that we've been doing. Q is very funny. I'll be interested to see how that translates to like a comedy or acting challenge. Mm-hmm. Tsunami, though, I was very surprised at her perform, because like I said, I've seen her around the New York scene for a while, and she is such an amazing performer. So I think this performance was a little surprising in the talent show. So, mm-hmm. And I know she has it in her. So I'm thinking that we'll see some good fashion moments from her. We'll see if she has to lip sync throughout the season, we'll see a great lip sync from Tsunami. So it was an odd episode. Because we only got half of them, so we can't, it's hard to gauge who's going to go far when compared to the others. But I think this episode was more about like, okay, I can see maybe if everything goes to the classic sort of Drag Race format, who is going to succeed within the certain structures and confines of this show, because they're all great performers. They proved to us this episode that they all have something amazing within them. So.
I wanted to point out one other Easter egg, speaking of Tsunami's song. Angeria posted on Instagram, and I had never caught this or had no idea that in the very beginning of Tsunami's song, there's like a brief vocal that says, "Ocean, I need a bop." And that's Angeria for working with Ocean Kelly. And everyone who has had an Ocean Kelly produced song for a talent show on Drag Race since then always has like a quick drop that is Angeria's voice saying, "Ocean, I need a bop." Aww. And so it's played for Candy Muse. It's played for La La Ree. I think there was another. She posted all the clips. And so that was like such a fun Easter egg that we will always be listening for Angeria's voice in episodes to come.
Oh, I love Angeria. I miss seeing her on our screens. Yeah. Well, that's all for our recap.
I think we did it.
Stay tuned for more live from the Candy Muse Bodega as we welcome the Candy Muse Bodega CEO and owner herself to Quick Drag to discuss the Drag Race debut of her beloved daughter, Tsunami Muse, coming right up.
If you don't have star quality,
baby,
get the fuck out of here.
Welcome back to EW's Quick Drag Podcast, where we are kicking off season 16 live from New York, Brooklyn, to be exact, from the stock room at the Candy Muse Bodega, which has been officially recognized by the United Nations as a sacred space as Tsunami Muse makes her Drag Race debut. As we record this podcast here on our banana phones, our guest judge, or I almost said guest judge. I am so embedded in the Drag Race universe. I almost said guest judge.
Well, yes.
Our guest joins us to reflect on being a single mom who's worked two Drag Race jobs on season 13 and All Stars 8 and loves her star quality kids and never stops. Please welcome the always fabulous banana phone answering queen herself, Miss Candy Muse. Candy, how are you?
Yay!
What is the tea, honey bee?
Oh, we're hoping that you are going to tell us the tea. Always love talking with you, Candy. Jillian and I are very excited to break down this first episode with you. So,
Oh my God. I'm so excited because there's so much that I have to say. And also, so much that Tsunami wanted me to say.
Okay. Can't wait.
You're going to get to all of that. Yes.
But speaking of Candy, we know you must be a proud mother after this weekend. So how does it feel to finally see another Muse on the show? And do you remember the first time Tsunami told you she would be doing the show and what your reaction was?
Oh my God. First of all, I am so excited. You know, Tsunami is not only just my drag daughter, but also one of my best friends. So I'm like, it's out of this world that I just feel like all this excitement that my best friend is on television. Cause you know, Drag Race, as easy as it may look to some people, it is actually very difficult to get casted onto the show. Mm-hmm. And only 12 to 14 girls get that golden ticket a year. So for it to be someone in your city, great. Someone that performs in your home bar, amazing. Someone in your drag family, even better. But someone that's your best friend is like, oh my God, incredible. And you know, not to share too much of her story before it's, you know, aired on television, but as someone who is, you know, a part of DACA, being on television and having this huge platform, it's such a help with, you know, that situation and now being able to travel the world. And it's, I mean, it's one of the main reasons why I wanted her to get on the show to begin with. So it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, in my interview with her from 2023, I mean, Tsunami said that she was, she said, I don't know if you watched the whole thing, but she said that she was trying to quote unquote rehabilitate your image on Drag Race. And in this episode, she called herself the Graceful Muse. but in our group interview that we did last week, the Queens unanimously voted Tsunami as Queen of Untucked. They all pointed to her when I asked. And
I did see that.
Yes, it is. It's very interesting to me that Maya, who is the granddaughter of Tamisha Iman, is on this season with your daughter after you and Tamisha made so many iconic Untucked moments. So what do you think we can expect from Tsunami in Untucked? And since you are the producer, did you like coach or produce her on how to have star quality?
Oh my God. Wait, you know what? First of all, before I even answer that question, I just realized there was a second question I did not answer. And as a producer, I must go back and answer
okay,
that question.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You know, the moment I heard, okay, so I was in the UK on the Haters Roast with Jimbo and Heidi, where we made the alliance.
Yes.
For
All Stars.
Yes. Okay. This day.
Okay. Yes, exactly. We were getting ready for, the show, and Heidi had, and obviously at that moment, I had already, like, I knew that a few girls had gotten, like, their first phone calls from Drag Race and so on. I knew the casting process was coming to an end. Yeah. And then Heidi was like, hey, like, I heard, like, the 16 girls got their calls already. And in my mind, I was like, well, there's no way. I was like, I know Tsunami made it far in the casting process. I was like, oh my God, no, she didn't get on the season. So I called her trying to be like real, like discreet and like, slick about it, because if she wasn't casted, I didn't want to like, ruin like her dreams and make her feel like shit. But I was like, okay, let me just find out. So I called her. I was like, hey girls, like, you know, so have you heard anything from casting yet? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, like, I just heard a rumor that like, the girls got their like final calls already, and she was silent for a second, and I was like, "Hello." She was like, "Where are you?" Because obviously it's a secret thing that we can't tell. We're on Drag Race, and I was like, "Oh, I'm in the dressing room." She goes, "Oh, are you able to leave the dressing room real quick?" And in that moment, I was like, and then she wanted to wait for me to get back from tour to tell me in person that she was on the show, which I thought was so sweet. But yeah, it was, that was incredible. I was like, oh girl. Once I found out she was on Drag Race, I was like, yes, I get to be famous for one more year.
oh my God. Not that but, day, like literally birthing the All Stars 8 Alliance and also Tsunami's Drag Race.
Yeah, this
story.
Is like a new national holiday, yes. Whatever day this was.
God.
Yeah, no, it was incredible.
That's very cute.
Joey, if you can remind me of that question.
Of course, yes. Thank you for producing this podcast as well, Candy. But so we were talking about all of the queens saying that Tsunami was the queen of Untucked. And it's also funny because Maya, the granddaughter of Tamisha Iman, is also on Untucked. She's going to be on Untucked with Tsunami this season. So what do you think we can expect from Tsunami and Untucked? And did you coach or produce Tsunami on how to have star quality and Untucked?
You know, Tsunami has a lot of star quality in her own realm. And I think that, when people hear the Queen of Untucked, you know, without giving too much away, whether it is drama or just being fun, in the Untucked, I think being a muse brings, you have this aura and this energy that people gravitate towards you automatically. So whether it is drama that she's having in Untucked or, you know, just having a kiki with the girls is going to be good because, during press week here in New York City, we were in Tsunami's hotel room. And when I tell you all the girls, it was like flies. What is that saying? Moths to a flame.
Yes.
Fly to a flame. All the girls were in Tsunami's room nonstop because she was like the party girl. So, it's just an attestment to what we're going to see in Untucked and why it's called, what do they call it?
Tsunami's afters.
Tsunami's afters. But, you know, Maya is Tamisha Iman's drag daughter. Mm-hmm. So let's see if it brings any juicy Emmy-winning, MTV-nominated Untucks once again.
Always with the credits, yes.
And while we are on the topic, I do have to ask, where do things stand with you and Tamisha right now? Because I believe the last time you spoke with Joey for an EW interview, you said you were trying to do a talk show together. So what is the status?
Yes, you know, ever since that interview was like 2 years ago, I think we filmed it like,
I think that was for All Stars 8, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I have not heard much from Tamisha since then. I don't really keep up with her, but not because we don't speak. I don't think she really keeps up with a lot of our cast from season 13. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, I'm either blocked on all social medias or she either has no social medias. Either one, I can't see her account. So
no phone calls being like, hey, your daughter messed with my granddaughter on Untucked.
No. But, you know, I am hoping that one of these days we get to kiki once again, because I was rewatching season 13 and I was like, oh my God, what a fun experience that was.
Yeah.
But now that I know, you know, that her granddaughter and my daughter are going to be in Untucked together, I'm going to find a way.
Yeah.
Maybe from my burner account to reach out to Tamisha Iman. No.
We need a finale moment with you both and your descendants on the show.
Yes. Oh, my. You know, start producing.
There's a lot of things that need to be held from season 13. I think season 13 needs a redo in itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So get on producing it, Candy. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did see, I also saw a tweet that you quote tweeted after this premiere, because I do want to shift a little bit and talk about Tsunami on the show. Somebody said, you seem to have a good sense of humor about this, because the tweet, I think it said something like, Tsunami completed the muse tradition by doing that on the first episode or something. And you seem to really get a kick out of it. And then you did also later tweet about how difficult it is to prepare for those talent shows. I mean, it's a 60-second song while preparing looks. And Oh, go ahead.
It's so hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I can totally see that. And I have to admit, having seen Tsunami perform on stage myself for a few years, I mean, I do think I was surprised by the talent show, because I know what a talent performer she is.
Let's get into that, because I have, you know, and I could whoop Tsunami's ass for this as well. You know, I will say though, one thing about Tsunami that I love that, it's something that I wish I had on my original season was, she's not really feeding into the negativity or any hate that's being thrown her way. You know, if you look at her Twitter, she's like laughing at all like the tweets,
right,
you know, and
right.
I think that that's such a good way of viewing things, because at the end of the day, it's something we filmed a year ago. We filmed, like, I'm on the show. It's something they filmed, you know, so long ago, and you can't really sit there and dwell on what you did and didn't do. At the end of the day, you film what you filmed, it's being aired, and you can either sit there and enjoy your time on Drag Race or sit there and, you know, just be bitter, which a lot of the girls do. And I think on my first season, I was going back and forth with fans and trying to prove why I'm, you know, why I did certain things. But that's an attestment once again to who Tsunami is. She doesn't take herself too serious. But let's get into the talent show.
Yes.
Because, yes, it is hard getting ready for Drag Race. And it is very hard also, you know, coming up with the talent show. I mean, like, with the they call it a variety show. They don't call it a talent show on Drag Race.
Actually. Oh, that's true. That is true.
Fun fact.
Yes.
But coming up with an act is very difficult, especially because you're getting ready for Drag Race. You have 3 weeks. You know, you have to get X amount of looks together. So it's hard. Now, I always say mother knows best. And I didn't, here's the thing. When Tsunami was getting ready for Drag Race, I helped her to my best ability without getting in the way of allowing her creativity and freedom to flow. Because I can tell you, hey, this will look good on stage, but that's because it's my idea, right? And I don't want to cloud your ideas with what Candy Muse wants, because I'm not the one on Drag Race. I'm not the one on television. I want you to be as creative as you want. However, with that being said, where Tsunami recorded this, she recorded the song in 20 minutes. Pro. I love it.
Yeah.
And we heard the song and I said, oh my God, amazing. Like, what a bop. We have this friend, Anthony, here in New York City, who does a lot of choreography for me whenever we have really huge performances. And I said, okay, Tsunami, I obviously had just done the talent show on All Stars 8. So I said, girl, they might or might not have a choreographer on stage to help you, but what you should do, get Anthony to get you to choreograph you a number before going over there so that you can at least have the basics of what you want to perform on the stage. And she was like, yeah, girl, yeah, girl, yeah, girl. And as the days went on, I said, hey, girl, have you done the choreography yet? And just like up until the final moment. And she is so stubborn sometimes because I was like, it was the day of, and I was like, okay, the talent show clearly will be the first episode. Did you do choreo for the song? And she was like, no, girl, I didn't. Oh, it's no. Okay. Like, I'm going to give it. And I was like, oh God. And then she got back home and she was like, once she was done rapping, filming, she was like, oh, girl, for the talent show, I should have had choreography.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, see, this is why you listen to your mother, to someone who has done it previously. But, you know, listen, as Twitter said, she lived up to the muse. The muse, what is it? Where the
muse legacy.
The muse legacy. And you know what? That is true, because season 13, episode 1 was rough for me. Once we did the girl group challenge.
So the lesson is you have to listen to mother or else she wants to whoop your ass, quoting you.
Very, very that. You know what's so funny? Because before coming on here, she was like, make sure you tell everyone that you did tell me to have choreography.
Okay.
But
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where we did a private screening at the Roxy Cinema with a close 100 friends. And we were sitting there and we were watching, and it's always so awkward watching yourself on television where you're not doing the best of your abilities in front of people, especially when there's a room full of people that love you, because then they have to sit there and pretend you're doing amazing. But we're just like, yeah, there could have been more, but you know,
live
nonetheless, I always say this, it is amazing to start off strong, but my favorite storylines on Drag Race are, and this, I'm not saying this is her storyline, I'm not saying, no spoilers here, I'm just saying my favorite storylines are the ones where there's an arc, almost mm-hmm. like me on season 13, where it was, you know, uphill situation.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what happens from this point forward.
Okay,
I'm living for the Candy stage mother muse era.
This era is so good.
I know, and you know, and it's so crazy because I am so I'm Tsunami will literally tell you I am her number one fan, and I truly am. And I'm so overprotective of my friends and my drag family. So, and I will say one thing Tsunami did prep me for before the season air. She goes, please don't argue with anyone online on my behalf. Don't fight with anyone. Like, just let it go. You know, so she's also teaching me how to have more patience with people. Because I'm very overprotective, and you know, anytime I see anything negative, I'm really like, no, I'm ready to fight and you know, battle with them. But yeah, I really am like the stage mother right now. I'm like, I'm sitting on the sideline with like my camera. That's literally how I felt at viewing party. I was sitting there with my camera, recording her in the audience, and it literally felt like a proud parent.
Yeah. Did you cry at all? Did you get emotional?
Oh my God, of course. You know, I, for the last 3 years, my friends have been nothing but supportive of my dreams. And Tsunami has been part of that journey, especially, you know, with being on Drag Race and stuff. So now it's so cool being able to kind of sit back and, you know, for the last 3 years, it's been all about me. It's nice now to have a switch up and, see one of my best friends live out their dreams, truly.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to the variety show. Who were you impressed by? Did you have any favorite, least favorite performances?
Honestly, favorite, least favorite. You know, I will say Safira, and I've known Safira for many, many years. I've slept over her house, you know, and it's, I was so shocked because as much as I've known her for so many years, I never knew that she was an opera singer, which I was like, oh my God, incredible. And you know, someone that not necessarily surprised me, but was so incredible is Mirage, who has recently been getting her flowers on the internet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's incredible and such a sweetheart, you know, and it's always so hard coming into Drag Race, knowing you have a drag parent or a drag sister on your previous season, because you get compared to a lot and sometimes you can get a little bit overshadowed. But I mean, my God, she's just, you know, and by that I mean, you know, she's sisters with Anitra. You know, she was just incredible. Someone that wasn't necessarily my favorite, I don't know, you know, as someone that has done the variety show before, I can't sit here and tell you like, oh my God, you know, this person was terrible, because I know how hard it is, but, you know, I can't be biased. Tsunami, unfortunately, I think out of everyone, if I was doing the Raider Queen, unfortunately, I'm going to have to put her at number 7.
Oh, we're going to have you do it later. We were going to have you do it. We were going to have you rate her, but, okay. So we'd already know, spoiler, is Tsunami gets in last place.
Okay.
I do want to ask your thoughts, though, on this. It seems like there might be a pattern. Tell me if you disagree, of queens leaning more into doing a catchy or quirky song and dance number. I was assuming in the hopes of getting a viral meme or song out of it for the audience reaction versus just the judges in the room reaction. Do you agree with that? And do you think that's a wise strategy if that is what's happening?
No, absolutely. You know, I think that girls find it's the easy route to create a song while getting ready for a Drag Race. I stand by this. I don't think they should be doing a variety show on the first episode on a regular season. I think they should say stuff like that for All Stars, because at that point on All Stars, you travel the world. You're more, you know, from your original season up until All Star, you mature so much and your drag grows so quick. And I think that when girls are getting ready for the variety show, they're thinking, how can I impress the judges and make it past that week or win? Instead of thinking, okay, I'm on television and every single episode of this show needs to contribute to something iconic and something viral. So let me think about what I can conjure, you know, for that to happen while I'm there. So I don't know. It's such a double-edged sword, because I think, you know, a lot of the girls are like thinking to themselves, oh, I want to get my catchy song on the show. And, you know, but when it comes to the variety show, you know, at this point, Drag Race has been on for 16 years and we've had variety shows a few times on the show. Mm-hmm. So it comes down to like, how can you stand out? You know, I mean, listen, even Jimbo on All Stars 8, all she did was make ice cream on the, you know, on the stage and, you know, people literally. So you never know what people are going to live for, but it's hard. It's definitely difficult coming up with something fresh and new that we haven't seen before.
We were saying, well, Jillian and I, when we do our little recap section of the podcast, we were saying that we almost think we like the idea, I think, of the talent show or the variety show being the sort of introduction to the queens. But if you're going to do the talent show or the variety show, there should be no elimination like it was this episode, because
You're just
getting to know the queens, and this is but it is interesting to sort of see some of them get caught up and like, okay, I'm maybe doing something that uses some of my skills, but is maybe more geared toward going viral in the fandom versus actually being a showcase of the full breadth of your artistry and getting
to know you know, even thinking now, like if I could go back to last summer and sit there with Tsunami and think, okay, what should we do for your variety show? Instead of a song, I'm like, you know, Tsunami is a very funny person and she's a signed model. I say, hey girl, listen, some of the most quirkiest and funniest variety show, acts are out of the box. Girl, you could have sat on the stage and taught RuPaul how to pose and model in some sort of funny way, you know? Nelly Smalls did it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's always so difficult, especially because, once again, you're trying to get that, you know, I didn't have my variety show song 2 days until I left to go film All Stars 8. So it's always so hard trying to come up with something. And I remember when they told me we're doing a variety show, I went blank.
Yeah.
Now I'm a talented bitch.
You are.
I went blank. So yeah, I don't know. It's maybe for 17, we just won't have a variety show.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it seems like they'd switch it up every few years or so. So maybe, yeah, we'll see a shift in that format for the premiere. But I'm glad that you got ahead of us already and already decided to tell us without being prompted that you were going to put Tsunami last on Raid of Queens. So unfortunately, if there was an elimination this episode and Candy was in charge, Tsunami, this would be your first and last Drag Race episode. No.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There was an elimination. Who was number? Oh, here's the thing. If there would have been a bottom two, I think it would have been Tsunami and Amanda.
Yeah.
And granted, Tsunami, you know, wasn't the best at that variety show, extravaganza, but if anyone has seen Tsunami, live, knows that she is a performer. So I think she would have sent Amanda packing, but you know, yep. Then again, it's Drag Race Asia, I don't know what happens.
Well, who would you, okay, so Tsunami is 7th. So if you were doing Raid a Queen, how would you rate the others from 1 to 6?
Okay, you know what, lies. I think Tsunami's better. Tsunami's, a runway was a bit better than Amanda. So yeah. I would put Tsunami at 6. I would put Amanda at 7. Okay. I would put Safira at 1. Mm-hmm. Q, I would put at 3. Yeah, I'm going to put Mirage at 2nd. And then that means Morphine gets
4.
Four. Yeah, right? I think that's all the most,
and then who's 5?
Right?
So then...
Oh, did I miss someone?
Yeah, 5 would be... Wait, who am I forgetting?
Q, Mirage, Safira, Tsunami, Dawn. Amanda.
Oh, Morphe. Dawn.
Dawn. Yeah. Yeah, I would put Dawn at... Well, I think Dawn and Morphine are fighting for 4 and 5.
All right, that's an interesting ranking, yeah. But I think the tops and the bottoms, yeah, are consistent with how they went on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For the most part, they're fair. I'm not going to call Riggory this time.
Not yet. So, I mean, I think we do see fans or queens asking fans not to sort of rate or compare the queens or, like, rank them. So do you think that doing it on the show, like, maybe opens the floodgates for more of that going on in the fandom?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's such a... Well, yes. Nah, I don't know. I do know. And that is, the answer is yes. You know, a lot of fans tend to go by what they see on the show. So, yes, it definitely will be opening the floodgates to fans to rate the queens on their own. But I would say this. As long as it's not hurting the queens and as long as you're not tagging the queens in your negative opinions, it's just going to make the show more fun. Because it's like football. It's a fantasy league. It's a TV show. The Drag Race fans are diehard fans. And that is incredible. As long as it's not hurting anyone, I think you can rate the queens as much as you want. Because we can't tell people not to enjoy the show the way they want to, right? But I always say this. Keep your negative opinions in your group chats. Or don't tag the queens or under their comments.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Raid of Queen plays out throughout the season. And, you know, how, I don't know. I want to know why that's the twist that they chose for this time around. But I guess we'll find out, right?
That was actually going to be our next question to you because, like, do you think that this twist was introduced kind of like the lipstick voting just to get drama? To, like, get some fights, get some conversations going, or,
you know,
I don't know, that's kind of what it seemed like to us.
So, because as the seasons go on and the fans get a little more brutal on the girls, I think girls are more scared to be a little, to give more TV moments, to be a little shady, to throw shade, you know? And I think that maybe that was introduced for that reason. However, I don't think that that is going to be an issue with this group because their dynamic, compared to, you know, casts from like the last three seasons seems really well. They mesh really well together and they're able to like throw playful shade at each other. And I've seen some of the interviews. I've seen some of a tense moment. It seems similar. Like some of the girls in your interview, Joey, specifically, it was like, ooh,
yeah.
I feel a little tension here.
Yep.
So yep. I don't think this group will have any issues bringing the drama this season.
Do you care to name names, Candy?
Well, listen, I don't know. There was some tension there between Dawn and Plain Jane and a lot of the girls. Girls, okay, girl. You can cut the tension with the knife. So I'm excited to see how this all plays out.
Yeah. I also have to just say before we move on to this next question that I love that Candy Muse gets this mustache and then suddenly makes a football reference. Like, what?
Right.
What are we doing?
Candy? You know, funny enough, the football was playing on my television the other day and I just let it play. I sat there and watched it. But
oh my God, the Muse evolution, the next era, football era. So we do know there was also a moment in the trailer for this season coming up. And I did ask Tsunami briefly about it in the group interview. I cannot wait to see Tsunami recreating your denim look with the boombox from the season 13 premiere. I screamed when I saw this trailer. And she did tell me in the group interview that it was the same one. So whose idea was it for her to take that to Drag Race? And did like Dahlia and Aja also have any input on Tsunami's prep for the show?
Oh my God. Of course it was my idea. Duh. I was like, wait, you're going to Drag Race. You need to talk about me. They have to know. They have to remember me. No, you know, when we got the prompt, for the runways and the specific category that it was for, we were going down the line of what she should do and landed on the boombox because it just worked for that specific, you know, it was perfect. I was like, oh my God, duh, you should do this. So that was the boombox. It was a bit hard to travel with the boombox to LA for her because people don't know about the let me tell you about this infamous boombox. That boombox was created by Rarities in Los Angeles as a very last minute prop that he made out of extra fabric. I didn't ask for it. It wasn't part of the final sketch. It was just something he made. And I have flown to LA. It was during COVID. I flew to LA 3 days before going to go film season 13 to film the sitting alone in the VIP music video with Alaska, and to do my final fitting for the boombox or the entrance outfit, and then that's when I was given the boombox. It's cardboard. It does not break down. It's this huge boombox.
Oh my God!
So I couldn't bring it back to New York because I still had to fly back to New York to pack for Drag Race to fly back to LA in 3 days to go film. So I couldn't bring it back to New York. So at the airport, the day I went to go away for Drag Race, production was a bit late to pick me up. So we had a small window where Monique Hart drove to Burbank Airport and snuck the boombox into baggage claim on the floor and snuck out. And that is the way I was able to bring that boombox onto set of season 13.
Oh my God. Mo Hart infiltrating oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Have you told that story before?
I don't know, but hey, here we are now. Yes. Sorry, production.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
It's the small things that make Jackie so memorable.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, when Tsunami said, you know, I'm going to bring the boombox, I was like, oh my God, of course. It's a piece of like Jackie's history. I think and it's just sitting in my house.
Did you have to do the same thing and get it past baggage claim for Tsunami?
You know, luckily we were able to fit it in one of her suitcases. So.
Damn, okay. One of the ones that you stole from the set or that you asked for.
Mark. Oh, no, well, kidding. I did take a lot of things from Drag Race. There's actually, I just hung up the workroom wall on my wall framed.
Oh,
it's next to the little Tic Tac from RuPaul's Lounge.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you did recently tweet that you'd always go back if Drag Race calls so you can get some more goodies, even for a Versus the World or Global All-Star season. Have you had any calls yet?
You know, I've had calls for other seasons that I've politely declined. But if I were to ever get a call for like a global all-star, I would always be judged by RuPaul. I would never say no to Drag Race. Sometimes I wish I would have waited a little bit longer, but you know, for All Stars, but All Stars 8 was an incredible experience. Yeah. But when RuPaul calls, I will always answer. Yeah. You know, Drag Race to me is like home. It's like summer camp, and I always have such a great time there. And I will say production love me so much. And, you know, they're always reaching out to see how I'm doing. For future projects, you know, stay tuned. And, you know, just, yeah, I don't know. I will always go back. I would never say no to Drag Race. I don't know if I would go back right at this very moment. You know, I just did the last 3 years, 2 Drag Races in a row. So I think I can wait a little bit longer, you know, and I'm just now coming into my new forms of doing drag. And yeah, I would wait a little bit longer, but I would always say yes, absolutely. And if they ever said, do we want a mother-daughter season? Yes. Oh, baby, me and Tsunami will be there.
Yes. Oh my God, I would love to see that.
Can you share any of the things that you said you did decline?
You know, I'm gonna plead the fist on that one. You know, I don't want to burn any bridges with anyone, but just know that you would have seen Kenny Muse on other iterations of the show. But no, you know, I will always say this. I will say this though. I will only go on the show if I'm being judged by RuPaul, and that is the only way I will not decline going on a show.
Well, that narrows it down, I think.
Yes. Now that the dust has settled a little on All Stars 8, how are you feeling about all the explosive drama that went down? And is there any more tea on the season you can share with us now?
Oh my God. You know what's so funny? Me, Jimbo, Heidi, and Jessica are actually going on a cruise next month to the Caribbean for 7 days. So let's see if we all kill each other. But funny enough, Heidi just texted me this morning asking me how my year was going. So I haven't answered just yet, but I will in a second. it's amazing. All Stars was such All Stars was such a dramatic season. And even, you know, a lot of the drama a lot of the drama didn't make the final cut. There was a lot more that was edited out, which is unfortunate. But it was such, you know, and I just saw Alexis Michelle the other day at the season 16 premiere looking gorgeous. So, you know, it's, again, we were making TV, and I'm glad that the fans felt so, you know, they loved the, I just think that, like, we were just there to have a good time, and also, like, there was some real shit happening, you know? The fights between me and Heidi were real. Between Heidi and Kahana, those were real. Me and Alexis, those are all real emotions that I think we hadn't seen on Drag Race in a very long time. And I think that at that point, you know, there was a lot happening on set that a lot of the girls, you know, were just feeling some kind of way over. So there were a lot of hot emotions on set. And I don't know, now that All Stars kind of like came and went, you know, we filmed it and then I waited a year and then the premiere happened and then I blinked and it was the finale. And I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah. That happened so fast, which is why I always tell the girls, enjoy your Drag Race moment because it comes and it goes so quick. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, do I still think I should have won? Yeah. But, you know, it was a great experience. And I get to say that I finished second. First runner up, excuse me.
Yes, first runner up.
You know, for the second time, which is, I think, you know, which I think makes me technically, a winner adjacent. So.
Yes, literally winner adjacent.
Well, yeah, if Jimbo can't fulfill those duties. Step up.
Hello. Well, you know what? No, because I will say, The All-Star crown for All-Stars 8 was a little bit ugly. So I was kind of hoping, I was like, you know what? I was being like, yeah, you know what? Thank God I didn't win. I don't want that ugly crown anyways.
Oh, Candy. This is why we love talking to you, Candy. But it was, I'm glad you brought up Alexis Michelle. I did see her the other day at the event too. It was nice to see that, you know, that I'm hoping, or well, maybe not hoping, depending on the answer to this next question. How is the All-Stars 8 group chat right now? Like, are you still close with all of them?
We, everyone on All Stars 8, it's a little busy with their life. So, but once in a while we do, you know, we have a group chat on Instagram because a lot of people don't have iPhones to, you know, I don't want any green bubbles on the message. But we do have an Instagram, group chat where once in a while we'll send things in, you know, and I have a group chat where Kahana, Jessica, Jimbo and Monica and Naisha, we call it the 6 feet feathers. Because we're all about 6 feet tall in heels and we're just light as a feather, so pretty. But you know, once in a while we reach out and stuff. Everyone's pretty. I'm a very busy woman.
Yes,
and I just finished Work the World, so I don't tend to answer a lot of my text messages, which it's not a very good thing. But you know, Jimbo does call me like every once in a while. She'll FaceTime me. She FaceTimed me when I was in Puerto Vallarta. She was on tour with the girls. So yeah, Jessica, she always reaches out, and yeah, everyone's kind of doing their own thing. Lala's a very busy girl. I don't like to bother Lala. You know, that woman is on the Lala Experience World Tour. But for the most part, you know, once in a while, I reach out here and there. You know, I'm the kind of person where I believe that I don't have to speak to a friend every single day in order to keep up the friendship. I think that our connection speaks for itself, and we don't have, you know, we can pick back up tomorrow and it'll be like nothing ever happened. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that you have a firm grasp on, you know, your dynamic and your boundaries there. I think that's really healthy and important. So,
oh yeah.
Candy, is there anything else that you want to add about Tsunami or anything that you said she wanted to tell us that you did that you didn't get to talk about?
I think she just wanted me to let everyone know that she's a stubborn little bitch and she could have listened to me for the variety show. But you know, it's going to be such a magical experience seeing the world fall in love with Tsunami the way I did when I first met her, and just seeing her journey on Drag Race and seeing how much she's grown from filming to now. So yeah, it's going to be incredible. And I'm excited to see the girls. And the season just looks like it's going to be so much fun.
It does.
So
yeah.
And maybe it'll be the first season since season 13 to win Best Cast Emmy.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, because season 15 Emmy hasn't happened yet. But we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Candy, it is always a joy speaking with you. Thank you so much for being.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, always. Thank you, Candy. And thank you for letting us also use the Candy Muse Bodega for our shooting location today.
Of course. and after this, we're going to jump on the SS Muse.
Yes!
she's had some you know, some fixes to her. So, hey, let's jump on board.
I did forget to ask you if you bought the boat yet. I always ask you if you bought the boat.
You know, I don't think I can park a boat anywhere near in Brooklyn. So.
True. Well,
there is the Brooklyn Navy Yard, but other than that.
I was going to say, yes, one of the biggest Navy Yards, yes, in Brooklyn. That's the only thing. Well, Candy, thank you again, and enjoy your day.
Thank you for joining us once again to kick off another season of Quick Drag. And thanks again to the legendary Candy Muse for joining us for our premiere. Please tell your friends about our podcast. Please give us a good rating on your favorite podcast platform, wherever you're listening to this, and write us a review so that we can keep bringing you more tea and interviews with your favorite cast members from Drag Race and Plasma. Please make sure your dad is listening to this podcast and giving us a good rating.
Tune in next week as we continue Quick Drag along with episode 2 of season 16. And we have plenty of more guests in store as the season progresses. For now, until next week, in honor of Safira Cristal, have a breast night.
This weather, cloudy weather. Ooh.